Alrighty, welcome back, Stephen, to
Thank
the Edge
you.
Show.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It
last
has.
time we were talking about AutoScale here.
Yep.
And
yep.
And what do you have for us today? What's your new,
sure.
new gig?
So I'm still doing AutoScale.
Okay.
But I'm
okay.
doing a lot of other things, a lot of cool things too.
Okay.
So I've recently been working on the new Azure Preview Portal.
Uh-huh.
So we're bringing a lot of new monitoring and DevOps capabilities into this portal.
Okay.
So we actually have AutoScale here as well. It's way more powerful than what people may be used to from Azure so far.
But what are some of the value add things of, you know, where the portal can enhance kind of DevOps experiences for people?
Yeah, so in the portal we enable you to kind of manage the whole lifecycle of your application from inception of creating that repo for the first time, checking in your code, modifying your code, testing, building, and deploying into the cloud. So we have that capability. You know, previously there were different portals you had to go to, different kind of ways of managing it. You could use on-prem, you could use in the cloud. So we've kind of brought it together in one holistic experience. Of course, we do way more things than just DevOps. But yeah, that full life cycle is now kind of covered in this one place.
Cool. Okay. Well, I want to spend most of the time just exploring what that looks like.
Sure.
So can we maybe start from the beginning, maybe a new customer's got a new code project and they want to work on something. How can the portal kind of start off there with that experience?
Sure. So yeah, I can show you right here. So I just before here, I created a team project actually. So the team project represents all of the capabilities of kind of the dev side of the lifecycle brought together.
Mm-hmm.
So it includes things like your code repository, your build definitions, and your work items. So you can come in here, you can add work items, you can track all that stuff here. So this is a team project that I created a little while ago.
And that team project is under the hood, it's kind of in Visual Studio Online,
yes.
right?
Okay. Yeah, so Visual Studio Online is actually what backs the team project. So it's the same underlying service, but it kind of has a new fresh look in the preview portal.
Okay, so a customer could still go to Visual Studio Online, or they could now come to the portal to kind of get these details.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, when you have, if you're a new customer coming in, well, the first thing you got to do is you have to have a repository and start checking in code. So when you create a team project, you get this awesome Open Visual Studio button that will actually, you click it and it just takes you right to Visual Studio, and it'll hook up all of the various things that you need to get started. So you can get your work items, your builds, all of that stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, you can actually do a lot in the preview portal. So that's something that you can use here if you a big Visual Studio user.
Yeah.
But if you want to just do, you know, some lightweight editing, some checking in, you can actually do that right here in the preview portal. So in this case, I already checked in a project and I favorited one of my folders.
And I can see, you know, again, it's Visual Studio Online supports Git. In this case, you're using a Git repo, but we could support TFVC as well.
Yep, yeah. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So yeah, for a smaller project like this, Git might be more appropriate.
Yeah.
So I created this web application here, and you can actually just, you know, kind of drill through and find the things you want to change. So I have my views inside home. You can also expand in place if you want. And then here you go. So here's a file that actually is, this is exactly what's running my application right now. So if I scroll down, you can see all of this. And then of course, what good is looking at a file if you can't change the file? So I can actually just click on edit. And now here in line, in this browser portal, I can actually change
change your Jumbotron class divider.
Yes, I could.
To the cool website. Okay.
Yes, exactly. So inside here, I can, you know, put whatever I want for. Yeah. Anyway.
So obviously this is a tailored to a dev experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, like, even for an IT guy, right? If you're storing your scripts as code or your infrastructure as code, and you're storing that in your repo, which is kind of that best practice, you could even possibly do that here.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I mean, this is just a text editor, so anything that you can edit via text file, you can edit here.
Cool.
So the next step, obviously, is I have to commit it back to the repository, so I just give it some commit note. I would get fired if I actually called my commit that. But so you can see here, we highlight in the notification hub over here, I successfully committed to my repo. So now if I were to use any other client, it would have that change. So now I can back out of all this. And if I go back here,
backing out of your journey, as we so call it.
Yes. Yep. That long journey. You can see here in the recent commits, it has that commit that I just did. The other cool thing, of course, is that we have diffs. So I can come in here and I can just click on this thing that I just changed, and it'll actually show me here inline in the browser. We have the cool like zoomed out scroll view, as you can see here with the changes, and see nothing else change. But yeah, so you can monitor what's happening to your repository as you go along.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay. So yeah.
So we've kind of shown how the project gets surfaced up in there, how you can see, briefly you mentioned you saw the builds that happen of the code, and you see the source code, and we have the source code editor. A typical project, though, of course, you need to do that build and let it go out. So what is that all about, right? That continuous integration, continuous deployment story, how does that work?
Exactly. So you may notice I did a commit, and there's this little progress indicator on the builds here. So what I've done is I've actually set up continuous integration for this team project to go to my website. So I can show you what that looks like. So if I just go to an existing website that I have that doesn't have continuous integration, I can show you that process. So scroll down here. Mm-hmm. And down in this deployment lens, you have this big button to set up continuous integration. So I can just click on this. It'll ask me where I'm getting my content from. So today we support, of course, VSO. And also, if you just have a local Git repository, you can actually use that to push content to your website whenever you want it to be pushed.
Yeah, a lot of third-party options there, it looks like. GitHub and Bitbucket and some of the other ones.
Those are all in the coming soon section.
Okay.
So they will be coming soon.
To the portal, right? But it is available in the current portal today.
Yes, yeah. that's correct. Right. In the preview portal, these are coming soon, but you could do this today in the existing portal.
Yep.
And then you just choose the team project. So
these are all projects that you have inside of Visual Studio Online, which you can create here or via Visual Studio Online.
That's right.
Okay. And so then once you pick a project,
you choose a repo and a branch.
Okay.
So if you're running more of a production site, you probably will actually have a separate branch for your production.
Yeah.
And then you can choose to, you know, only when you push changes to production, have the site update with that content.
Yeah. So maybe can you maybe give some good best practices of, like, let's say somebody has a simple stage and a master branch in their Git repo. What would be the best scenario to kind of enable that flow of checking in code to production?
Yeah, so you want to be able to verify your code in some sort of internal environment first. So another feature that we have in Azure websites is the concept of deployment slots.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually, if you have a standard plan, you can create a deployment slot, and then you can hook up kind of the latest code changes you have with continuous integration to your staging slot or your int slot or test slot, whatever you want to call it. You can deploy there, have your tests run in that environment, and then once it's good to go, you then push to prod.
And then swap it out. Yep. So you would kind of have a separate repository that then links to your staging environment, and maybe that's your stage branch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have your master branch maybe link up to there or not and just do the swaps kind of. Yep. A lot of different choices. For our IT audience out here, if you're kind of, this is flying over your head a little bit, we are kind of more on the dev side of the cycle. But I would say that, you know, the setting up this continuous integration, continuous deployment scenario is something that very much could be an IT-related role, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So this is that site that I set up a little earlier. So you can see I already had continuous integration. It takes a few minutes to actually go through, so I won't show you on the other site.
Yeah.
But this one I already set up. So you can see here, I can actually click on this, and I can see all the deployments that happened. So just a little while ago, this is that change that I made.
Yep. Is that, I mean, the code that you checked in that you showed the differentials before,
yep.
You have a commit message, so you can track what was thrown in there. This is just saying, hey, when you made that check-in to the code, we did initiate that build, and so you have a history of that. And so for if you're, for instance, checking with DevOps your metrics of how many deploys have we done, well, this would be a way to do that, right? You could say we've done this number of deploys,
exactly.
And that's how many changes we pushed to our, you know, to our production, right, or stage or dev or whatever.
But then, you know, once you've pushed it to prod, you need to be able to monitor and track that things are still operating as efficiently as they were before.
Yep.
So we have a few different tools that you can use. So here's just a basic request and errors chart. All these monitoring charts are interactive, so you can come in here and you can Edit the query, you can zoom in, you can zoom out. So here I can say, I want to see what's happened in this.
So these queries are native to Azure itself. So right here, we're not doing anything special. We're just utilizing the underlying Azure platform metrics that are provided.
That's exactly right. Okay. Yep. You don't have to do anything additional to configure this. Okay. As you can see here, you can see all the requests that have been coming to my site. And then, of course, for things like this, you can even set up alerts if you want. Mm-hmm. If you want to be informed when something goes wrong, if you're having a large number of server errors is what this alert is mm-hmm. right here. And we even show you in line here kind of the threshold for what your alert is. Yep. That way you can adjust it. So obviously you don't need to do anything to light up the infrastructure monitoring, but to light up application insights, all you have to do is paste in a JavaScript snippet into your code. So mm-hmm. you can see here, this one was already set up, but I can come back and get it later. So here I have this JavaScript snippet, so I can just go in here, I can do Control C to copy it. Whoops. You can also maximize it if you want. And then that is very obnoxious. I go in here, so now I can go to my repository, for example, and I can just paste that into the layout of all of the web pages that get rendered.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I can come in here and go to my repository.
You could paste that into the core part of the code there, and then that particular code is going to enable user data and information, right? What
yep.
browser they're using, tracking the number of users and things like that, right?
Exactly right, yeah. So if I just go to this layout.cshtml, I paste this in, and here we go.
Paste and then say and commit it, and then now it'll do, because you've set up that continuous integration, it'll do deployment, and now you've got analytics
yep.
inside your whole application.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's pretty much all you have to do. Okay. I went through the entire process right there of how to instrument
yeah.
it.
So let's take a step back here. So we've shown kind of a lot in this condensed time frame, right?
Sure.
We've shown how you've got a new project, and we've gone and done some code editing, right? You could do that via Visual Studio or do it natively within the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Shown how you can set up very easily continuous integration to your source code controls.
Mm-hmm.
Push those changes, get the continuous deployment along with that continuous integration. And then also even adding in the monitoring side of your application all within the portal.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so that's a lot. And I think that's a pretty testament to the portal, you know, scenario mm-hmm. with DevOps, right?
Yep.
How you can do all that in one place. The final thing that I don't think we've quite mentioned, but you've been showing here in the background, mm-hmm. is the portal customizations itself.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
Because an ops guy, right, you're like, hey, I want this cool dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
We want to leave this up on a monitor, right,
yep.
for our team to look at. What can we do there within the
yeah,
portal?
Yeah, so this is actually one that I just customized for our app here. And you can see here, I've actually dragged in a few different parts from my application. So I can see the CPU percentage. And if I scroll down here, I can see I have web tests set up that ping my site, and they show me the response time for my site, mm-hmm. and the requests and errors. So to customize this, you can go up here and go to Customize. You can actually just click on these guys. You can drag them around. You can resize them. So I can just go make this smaller if I don't need all that data.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it wider. You can, of course, remove them if you want. And if you want to add new things here, all you have to do is just go into whatever thing
it is
you're interested in adding. And you can actually just go in here and right-click and pin to start board. And
okay.
just adds it right there.
Right there.
Yep.
Okay.
And of course, what's also cool is you can customize not only your start board, but you can customize the actual view of your website here. So if I want to go in here and customize this, I can say, hey, I want this to be bigger right here. So you can create not only dashboards up front.
Not only at the start page, but within the every time I click on this application or this particular window, it's going to remember that for
yep.
me. Next time I go to my website view, it has that there.
Exactly.
Okay, very cool stuff. All right. Well, thanks again, Stephen.
No problem.
What would you say are great next steps for people here to check out the portal?
Yeah, so if you just go to portal.azure.com,
mm-hmm.
You can check this out. It's live there. It's a preview, but it has, as you can see, tons of great, rich capabilities. So
yeah.
Try it out. You can get, if you have an MSDN subscription, you get mm-hmm. $200 for free to use Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more than enough to do anything. I mean, this is just my MSDN subscription right here, and I still have $120 left, so.
Yeah, just don't spin up a whole bunch of A9 VMs and you'll be okay.
Exactly,
yeah.
yep.
All right, cool, thanks.
Great, thanks a lot.
Yeah.